Hacker Public Radio. I'm Klaatu, and I'm the host today. I've been playing around with Slax. So Slax 6.0, right now it's up to 2, is a cool little portable distro based on, predictably enough, Slackware. It is designed for USB thumb drives and live CDs. And me and Monsterb, or MonsterB, who I met in IRC, were kind of playing around with it after someone in the Slack's IRC channel, which is a low-traffic IRC channel, by the way, so if you try out Slack's and go there, don't expect an answer too quickly. But someone in the IRC channel in Slack's had mentioned that he was having trouble installing Slack's, which struck me as odd because my initial installation of it went really, really well. Super smooth. I'd never done it before, but it just kind of worked. So I went back and tried it again and started having problems. So I wanted to do an episode on maybe some of the pitfalls about installing Slack's that you might be able to avoid after some sort of digging around and some mistakes that I made, as well as some of the cool things about Slack's that you can do once you get it onto a thumb drive. So what is Slack's? Okay, like I said, it's a Slackware-based distribution, portable, and it can be persistent, so you can make changes on it and actually maintain your changes, which is kind of cool. Why would you want to use Slack's over, say, Puppy Linux or DSL or any of those other little portable distros? No reason necessarily. Slack's I wanted to use mainly because I'm more familiar with Slackware than I am with, for instance, you know, Puppy Linux or DSL. I know Slackware, so I thought that it might be a good idea to go with Slack's, something that I knew. And the moment I tried it, I was very, very happy that I did. It's very, it's not only familiar if you do know Slackware, but it's really fast. The performance is nice. It's got a really cool little KDE desktop, and it just runs really well from what I can tell on lots of different machines. So I was really impressed with it. It's also got a really cool module structure, which I'll get into a little bit later, so that you can really kind of add to Slack's and customize it for yourself. So the initial thing you want to start out with is just verifying the media. Obviously, if you go in and try to install Slack's on a USB thumb drive that doesn't work, you're going to have problems pretty much right away. So it's really good to just make sure that you've got a thumb drive that is known to be reliable. I tested it on a Memorex. I've tested it on some unknown brand that I forget. I mean, that I just got for free from, like, Staples, you know. And I've tried it also on the little thumb drive that one gets if one joins the FSF. So now you know that I'm a member of FSF. But yeah, if you join the FSF, you can opt to get a little thumb drive. It's like 256 megabytes. That's just enough for Slack's to fit onto, plus a couple of modules, and that works really well too. It's really nice because it's a really, really small thumb drive. It's a very small form factor. So those all three are known to work. And obviously, in theory, anything should work, but I'm just saying, know what thumb drive you've got, know that it's a reliable drive. Try to eliminate that variable from the get-go. Which file system should you use? I guess the most common one to use, and the most universal, I suppose, would be VFAT. I didn't use that, or I did on one on a couple of attempts. I used ext2. I believe somewhere on a Slack's site I saw that XFS was also a really good idea. It doesn't really matter as such. It will matter in terms of what you end up formatting the drive as to which shell script you're going to run while you're installing Slack's. And this, I believe that this is probably one of the major pitfalls when people are trying to install it. You have to run a certain shell script if you've used a VFAT, and an entirely different shell script if you're using ext2 or XFS. So just be aware of what file system you are using, and if you don't know, you can format the USB drive with a simple terminal command. You unmount the device So it's umount /dev/, you know, wherever your USB drive is. So it could be SDA1, it could be SDB1, whatever. And then you're going to run mkfs.vfat /dev/SDB1 in my case. So wherever the USB drive is. And that will format the drive as a VFAT. If you want to do the ext2 thing, it's going to be mkfs.ext2/dev/SDB1, and so on. That will erase all the data on the drive, as they tell you time and time again on the Slack's installer files. So if you're doing that, make sure that you've got all your data off the drive. Okay, so then you need to download Slack's, which you can find at slacks.org. Be aware that there is a CD-ROM image and there's a USB thumb drive image. So download the one that fits your needs. So if you download it, it'll download, let's say, to your desktop. And then you're going to want to untar that tarball directly onto the USB drive. That's just the easiest way to do it, because definitely someone I was speaking to was having trouble doing the install because it was nested in a folder on the thumb drive, so the path was wrong. So to make sure that you avoid any kind of problem with that, the easiest way, again, from the terminal, you simply make sure that the USB drive is mounted, and then you would cd /media/USB drive, wherever you happen to know that the thing is mounted. Then you will /xvf /tilde/desktop/slacks-6.0.2.tar. That will untar the Slacks package directly onto the USB drive in the exact manner that it needs to be. So it's very helpful. So once you have it untarred, you're going to run the script. And this is where it gets vaguely tricky, because you need to make sure that you're running the correct script for what file system you have made your USB drive. You can either do sudo, or if your distro doesn't use sudo, just use su and enter your password, sudo /boot/bootinst.sh if your drive is VFAT. That will install it without any catches. Now, if you've done ext2 or XFS, then you're going to want to do sudo /boot/lilo-inst.sh. And that's really important, because it will not work if you do the wrong one. And they don't make, I didn't notice that it was a huge, I mean, they don't have like a big warning sign in the installer files or anything. So you need to just kind of be on top of that, know what you're doing. Now, another catch is that whilst installing, it's going to need to run a LILO binary file. And this LILO binary file will only run on the architecture, the chip, the CPU architecture, you know, that it is a binary for. So I know for sure that it will fail on, for instance, a PowerPC chip. It will work fine on an i386 architecture or 686 architecture, you know, the typical Intel architecture. I don't have an AMD chip to try this on, and I don't know enough about the differences between AMD and Intel, except that typically if you're downloading an ISO, you have to make sure that you're getting that ISO for either AMD or Intel. So I'm assuming there could be a problem there. So if you're on an AMD system and you're trying to install this and it isn't working, if it hangs at LILO, it's because your chip architecture is wrong. So you'll need to find an Intel machine possibly to install this on. If you're installing from Windows, which I did not, and I do not have access to a Windows machine to test it on, you can be in Windows. There's an installer.bat file. So presumably you will know how to run that on Windows, and you run that and I guess it'll work. Again, I do not have access to that, so I haven't tried it, but I have asked about 2 people on IRC how they installed it after they had done successful installs, and what they had done was just do it via Windows. And I guess that probably circumvents any kind of weird file system issue, since I'm sure Windows probably doesn't recognize ext2 or XFS, so you're probably just dealing with a VFAT. So once you have it installed and it's ready to go, obviously you need to make sure that your BIOS settings are correct to be able to boot off of it. Getting into BIOS is usually as simple as hitting F2 during boot, or sometimes it's escape during boot, or delete during boot, and just set it so that the USB is a bootable, you know, the booting from USB is enabled, and preferably higher in the sequence than your hard drive, or else it will just boot off the hard drive because it won't ever get past the hard drive. But once you have it installed and you've booted up off of it, you can easily make Slax a persistent file, a persistent environment. And in all actuality, I haven't even had to do this. It's actually just being persistent for me. I don't know if this is an update that they've made for 6.0. Right now, it's being persistent for me. And the way to make it persistent, if it is not persistent for you, is simply make a directory on your flash drive. You can call it, for instance, Slax RC. And then when you get to the boot up screen, you can use a boot parameter, changes equals slash Slax RC, and then Slax knows where to put all of your changes and where to find them again later on. So I'm assuming there's probably a way to modify the Lilo config file to make that boot parameter a constant thing. I haven't really played around with that lately, but if you go listen to Dan Washko's episode, HPR episode, about specifically, obviously, the Lilo episode, you will find all the kind of information that you need to make that happen. The modules that Slax has is a really cool feature. These are basically Slack packages, so they're basically just .pgzs that you can actually, there's a utility on Slax to convert a Slack package to a Slax module. So, and there are sites with Slax modules available. And you can add these modules to a folder in on your USB drive. You can identify that as your module folder. And then when you boot up, you will have those programs available to you. So you can keep adding to Slax in, you know, really easily with these little packages, basically. In some events, you're not going to be able to get to a computer's BIOS in order to make it bootable from a USB drive. In that case, don't forget that you do have the live CD option. You could use that. That's what I ended up having to do at work, since I work around Macs and wanted to boot up off of the thumb drive. And the newest incarnation of Macs do not use open firmware, so you can't access any kind of firmware setting for the boot sequence, and it simply will not boot off of the USB drive. Tried everything and just doesn't work. So you could probably hack the EFI firmware by downloading a developer kit from Intel and installing it on the Mac, but you'd probably end up breaking the Mac, and I can't really afford to do that at my job right now, so I haven't done it. But the live CD is an option. It works really well. I've been using that quite a bit at work. So either way, Slax is highly enjoyable. It's a great little system. Runs really, really fast, probably because it's pared down, but also probably because it's on solid state, so you're not physically waiting for really anything. So it's a great little solution for a quick Linux fix if you're on the go, and it's a really cool system, so give it a shot. If you've not tried Slackware, this could be a great introduction to it. It's pretty much, you know, you boot it up and it's kind of ready to go. It doesn't have any of the classic, you know, scary Slackware kind of things that you have to configure. So try it out, and you might like it.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.